Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Yo, welcome you to another episode of Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and we're going to start the show off with a song just out in Birmingham, Alabama. It's by The Blips. It's a song called Inside Out. Here we go.
Come on.
Welcome you to another episode of Porch Talk. We are burning the phone lines down with Levi Seymour of Phone Lines. And he's got a hot saying for you. So, Brother Levi, how goes it and what is the saying? Or it comes later, doesn't it?
It comes whenever it comes. It comes whenever it's ready.
Okay.
I'm doing good, man. We got tornado last night. It's probably like 200 yards or so away from the house, so.
We've had quite a bit of danger lately, too, over the past 2 weeks with weather.
Yeah, I don't know that I like this whole every weekend there's going to be some sort of, weather travesty or something that happens.
Right.
They've got a schedule pretty good, though.
They do. It's like, okay, so we're going to make Monday the prettiest day of the week, and by Friday, we're just going to make you wish that you enjoy the weekend on the weekdays.
Yeah, your yard's going to look really good Monday through Thursday, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you're going to get tons of leaves and limbs blowing in the yard, and it's going to be rainy and muddy.
Just going to completely undo everything that you did. No big deal.
Mm-mm. Anyway, there's an old commercial that the NFL used to do, and I think it was to sell merch, like jerseys and stuff, but they would end it with, "You want the NFL? Go to the NFL."
Nice.
And so, about to go to the NFL, baby.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. All right, and so we got, three big things to go over, and then we're going to break them down?
I think four or five.
Great. I'm ready.
All right. It is NFL draft is Thursday. We'll be round one. They started doing their mock draft thing to see if doing the draft from, their own computers was going to work. The virtual draft, I think, is what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, it wasn't great. but they're still planning on having draft. But I can only imagine how big of a mess it's going to be. But in that regard, NFL offseason is, I guess, coming to a close. So the draft is still happening. We don't know when the season is going to start.
Right.
But Thursday's the draft, so we're going to talk about a few things NFL related.
Great. So I believe question number one is teams for the upcoming season, if there is a season. Possible train wrecks.
Yes. Yeah, so I wrote down possibilities for disaster, whether that be, disaster for a given team varies, based on where they are in their current franchise. So, a disaster for the Jets,
yeah.
Wouldn't be necessarily having a losing season, but a disaster for the Bucks would be to miss the playoffs because, they went all in and went for Brady and all that. But if you're already a crap team, it wouldn't necessarily be a disaster. If the Bengals had another losing season, that wouldn't be a disaster. You expect that.
Right.
So number one on my list of teams, in no particular order, that could be heading towards disaster this season is the Houston Texans, my baby boys.
Oh, boy.
So our general manager is our head coach, which is almost never a good idea unless you are Bill Belichick, which Bill O'Brien is not. They share one thing in common, that's their first name. Other than that, nothing.
Right.
In the last 12 months, we've traded or let go of Jadeveon Clowney, DeAndre Hopkins, and somebody else. But we also traded a bunch of first-round picks for a left tackle, and we haven't signed him to an extension yet. we're basically going to have to just, like, give them a blank check and say however much you want to get paid, that's how much you get. We've traded for Randall Cobb, traded for David Johnson, and we didn't really need to. Traded for Brandon Cooks, who's got, I think, it averages a concussion per game over the last couple of years.
It's really shaping up to be good.
So, it is shaping up to be good. Not only that, like, you would figure with all the people that we've traded and how good they are, you know, we'd get some extra picks for that. And I say we because I am a member of the Houston Texans. But, no, we don't. We have less picks than when we started. So I think our first pick takes place in the second round, which is always what you want.
That's preferable.
Yeah.
Now I mean, going in the first round, I mean, it's really overrated. Like, there's so much pressure on, like,
I mean,
who's going to pick who. By the time the second round comes around, everyone's, like, ready. Ready for business. Makes perfect sense.
I mean, it's not like you could get, like, a Deshaun Watson in the first round or anything like that.
Right.
No way. But anyway, not only that, so we've got four or five deep at receiver with people that, like, need touches and playing time, with Randall Cobb, who we signed to more money than he's worth, Brandon Cooks, who we just traded, a pick for, Will Ford was a first-round pick 3 years ago, who's good, and Kenny Stills, who we traded for last year. So that's four, like, starters in the NFL. And this season is, like, one of the most loaded receiver drafts since 2014, which had Odell Beckham and Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, and Sammy Watkins, not to mention Jarvis Landry, not to mention several other receivers. Like, it was loaded. I think Devontae Adams also in that draft.
I remember that year.
So this draft coming up is a loaded receiver draft, and we have nowhere to put a receiver, so we're not going to draft a receiver. Even though you can get them for cheaper, use one of these picks that we... It's a mess. Anyway. Need help on the offensive line. Don't have enough picks to address that. Haven't spent any money in free agency toward the offensive line. It could be a mess. The disaster would be if things keep on going the way that they're going. We're in an extremely weak division, but almost everyone in our division has good pass rushers. So our best player is our quarterback, and if we can't protect him, then there goes not just this season, but probably next season, and then he's going to want to probably leave. Bad all around, right?
Yeah.
So that's the disaster I foresee. Houston Texans.
I'll give you one of mine. And I think it, like, happens Thursday. Is I think I got the Miami Dolphins on possible disaster watch. Depending on who they... Depending on who they take. Because right now, I do not believe, like, there's a fair amount of quality quarterbacks entering the draft this season. But I don't think that's the emphasis for them.
No. So that's... I want to talk about that a little bit later, too.
Okay.
Dolphins is interesting because they're one that I didn't think they could screw up this next year. Because honestly, like, the worse they are, the better it is for them. Because they have so much to fix. If they pick a quarterback, which I don't think they should, but if they do, they need to sit them for the whole year. Pull the old Aaron Rodgers or what have you.
Right.
My number two team is the New York Jets. Because, so this is the year Tom Brady's left, so the Patriots, you figure, are probably going to be a little bit weaker. Dolphins are a train wreck. Bills, you never know. They were good last year and made the playoffs, but you really never know with them. The Jets, they last year kind of got derailed early on when Darnold caught mono, but they paid Le'Veon Bell a bunch of money. And everybody kind of gave him a pass that it didn't work out with Le'Veon Bell and Darnold, because, you know, Darnold got sick, so all the attention was on Bell, so he wasn't going to be able to be productive. But all that excuse is gone now. So if Darnold doesn't prove to be, you know, what they thought he was going to be his rookie year, then where do you go? You have to restart the rebuild that you're 3 years into, and that's that is a disaster, because you wasted 3 years on nothing, basically.
Right.
You have another one, or do you want me to keep going?
Go ahead.
The third one I have is the Raiders.
I was thinking about them, man. Because I thought they were on such a good path, and then they just got rid of everybody.
So, yeah. Gruden and their quarterback has never gotten along, Derek Carr. I don't know if it's like they dislike each other, if they're just not a good match, like, team-wise, with what Gruden wants to do. Because Gruden wants to be like a smash-mouth team. Run, and play action.
Why you got so many receivers? Or had?
Remains to be seen. But they've got a good tight end. They've got a good young running back. They had a pretty decent offensive line, and I think they pay pretty well for their offensive line. Their defense was okay. And then, I mean, they were, like, competitive all year. But I just get the feeling that they're held together by such, like, a thin thread, you know, that everything could come crashing down all of a sudden. And that would be a messy and ugly divorce, because Gruden is getting paid, like, $50 million over 5 years or something. And last year was year two, or was it year one? I don't know. But they're moving to Las Vegas. So, you really never know what could happen. This is also a big year for them picks-wise, where they've got tons and tons of draft capital, as the guys say. And if Mike Mayock and John Gruden can't figure out how to work a computer, it's going to be pretty bad news. They're also not afraid to make controversial picks, as we saw last year, where they drafted Clemson's lineman, like, way too early. They could have traded down, got more picks, and then still picked them up, but they just drafted them, like, fourth overall or something.
Yeah. What about the Bucks? Do you have them on your list?
I have the Bucks on my list.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's so... The whole thing is so risky. Like, you got... You got Tom Brady, and... I guarantee you they're not running a Belichick system down there in Tampa. And so it's going to be curious to see Brady outside of a system.
So, that's probably the thing, is, like, Bruce Arians is the coach in Jackson, or Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians runs a vertical zone offense, which means they do zone run, which is fine. That's like Mike Shanahan implemented that in like the 90s, and that's been extremely successful since then. Zone run is like a really good way to run the ball. On top of that, they do the vertical offense, so what they like to do is run, get the defense to commit, and then take long shots down the field, which is why Jameis had 30 interceptions last year, as well as 5,000 yards passing, because you can get a lot of big plays, but if you're not accurate, it's not going to work. Well, where Brady really struggled last year was throwing the ball medium to deep routes. He's good at throwing the ball short, because he has these little speedy receivers, and he's still accurate in that range.
Yeah, Julian.
But he wasn't too good at throwing the ball deep. Part of that could have been because he didn't have any receivers that could go deep, and in Tampa Bay, he's going to have Mike Evans and Charles Godwin. I think it's Charles Godwin. Someone Godwin. And O.J. Howard still. But, like, all last year, he struggled to throw the ball deep. They don't have a running back. I don't know what their offensive line situation is like, so I don't know. But Bruce Arians likes to throw the ball deep. Don't know if Brady still can. don't know how good their defense is.
So the biggest concern, so when they go into this draft, if they don't have it, they really need to focus on offensive line and defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I think, like, with that being said about Brady, he's going to need a lot of protection.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a backwards way of building your team for, like, how the NFL's been going. Usually you try to build up the lines first, and then you get your playmakers either in free agency or in the draft, uh-huh. and they've kind of gone the other way, and they've had, you know, they have Mike Evans and Godwin and some playmaking defensive players, I think.
What do you think about that, though? Is it kind of like, okay, let's just take this for instance, what the Pelicans did for so long with the brow? Do you think they were just trying to give the franchise a face to bring crowds back and get into it?
Maybe. So with the NFL, it's a little bit different because your window for rebuilding isn't that
quick.
Long, really. So, like, an NBA rebuild, you're given, like, 2 to 3 years. In the NFL, you, like, pretty much have to be competitive or you have to be tanking every year. There's no real in-between. So you can tank maybe 2 years at tops, but after that, like, you better be... Because you can get a... If you want to build your team, you can get... It doesn't matter if you pick first or 30th, you can get an offensive lineman that's going to be pretty good, or a defensive lineman that's going to be pretty good if you do your job and you scout right. But what I mean with building the line is, like, typically teams will try and build the line first to where they have offensive tackles and guards that don't have to, like, learn the position mm-hmm. as they're going with these veteran quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. You know, you want to add in, like, a playmaking running back or receiver later on because, I mean, you know, how hard is it to... It's harder to teach offensive line, I think, and get good production out of an offensive lineman early than it is a receiver or running back. You'd rather have your foundation set first rather than the playmakers. What good is a playmaker if you can't get the ball out?
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking Leatherwood. I wonder who's going to be some of the best offensive lines coming out of college football this past season. I really like some of them big old boys from Georgia.
So one of the Georgia guys is, like, a consensus top 5 pick this year.
I thought LSU had a phenomenal offensive line.
They really did. I don't know how many of them were juniors and seniors.
I think that might be the scary thing. I don't recall right now. Alabama had had a couple that were really... really good.
Yeah, I think, like, Iowa and Michigan, they always have one guy that's like, oh yeah, this is the best offensive tackle I've ever seen. But yeah, the Bucks need to shore up their line for sure, spend some serious capital on that, and then either sign or draft a running back in one of the later rounds, because there's a lot of good running backs in this draft too that are not going to get drafted in the first round, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But my fifth team is the Falcons. I think the Falcons could have an awful year. So they still have Matt Ryan, still have Julio, still have Calvin Ridley, right? He's Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of their running back. They got Todd Gurley to come. Todd Gurley has arthritis in both of his knees, I think, which is what you want in a starting running back.
That's a good point.
They were such a weird team last year because they could not score, and they could not stop anybody else from scoring. But they can't score, and they had...
That's a good formula.
That was MVP 2 years ago, and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, and you can't score any points. What's the deal?
So where was the problem?
I don't know.
Because there's no way that, you know, given all the teams that they played, that there was a defense that was going to be too competitive to hold Ridley and Julio back the whole time.
There's not a team in the NFL that can do that. You have to pretty much do it yourself. And they played Tampa twice, Carolina twice, and New Orleans twice. And none of those teams are, like, world beaters on defense. Like, Carolina had a pretty decent defense, but then their offense was crap, so they were always giving the ball right back. So, I don't know. I think Sarkisian was their offensive coordinator last year, though, which might explain some of that. No Sark love for me. But, yeah, this could be the year that they have to, like, glow it up. And I'm thinking either they either need to make a trade while the offseason's going on, or they're going to have to do it before trade deadline week 6 or 7. Julio has already gotten paid most of his money off of his contract, because he signed a $62 million deal, and he had $60 million of it, like, paid up front, like, which is crazy that you can do that. But it also helps the Falcons out, because now, if they wanted to trade him, the team that they're trading to doesn't have to take on any money. And I, personally, would like to offer Randall Cobb straight up for Julio Jones. Who says no?
Okay.
Fair is fair, right?
Fair is fair.
So, those are the 5 teams that have headed for disaster. Houston, the New York Jets, Las Vegas Raiders, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Give me a hot take on New Orleans.
I think they'll win the division this year. I don't know if that's a hot take.
That's, I think. That's one team, like, I was thinking about, you know, when I was just trying to maybe come up with something kind of oddball, but I think they're going to be fine.
Every team is kind of in flux, and, you know, the Bucs are swinging for the fences in that division. I think Atlanta's going to be a dumpster fire, and I don't think Carolina's going to be good. So, 9-7, 10-6 probably gets them in the playoffs. 11-5 probably wins the division.
There you go.
I think it's doable.
Well, dude, it is 5 o'clock.
All right, let's take a brief break for a word from our sponsor. Our sponsor is teriyaki sauce. Teriyaki sauce, it's just brown water, but you love it.
Teriyaki sauce. Good brown water.
Featuring high salt and low salt.
Just like soy sauce.
My next segment, it's one I'd like to call Big Year. So which teams are going to have a big year? And a couple of these I don't really need to talk about. But let me hear what a big year for you think it is.
Okay, I think it's kind of the opposite of what we just did. Like, this, maybe last season was mediocre, or maybe it was a dumpster fire. But this year, you're left in a real good spot because of the draft to really outshine other teams in your division that usually get you. Is the Browns going to be on your list? Yeah, me neither.
I just feel like every time another team in the division kind of opens the door to let the Browns, like, creep up, somebody else takes their place instead of the Browns. Or it's like, it should have been the Browns last year. Like, they should have been competitive or good, and they just were not. Like, whatever reason, it didn't happen. But along the lines, one of the teams I have on the list is the Ravens. And they did have a big year last year. But wheels kind of fell off in the playoffs immediately. And to have that much regular season success and then kind of falter like that in the playoffs is pretty bad. They might have just ran into a bad matchup with the Titans, might have just had a bad day. But I feel like they're perfectly set up to just run it right back, get some more playmakers on offense, playmakers on defense. Everything else for them is pretty much set. So all you've got to do is kind of fine-tune. They run back the same coaches, same quarterback, same receiving core. So, I mean, Their formula works. Why not keep doing it?
Now you got my mind turning on the Titans. You know, they had such a good playoff run.
Anyway, Titans not on my list. They probably should win the division next year. Because the Texans are trying their hardest to screw everything up.
Sorry.
Next team on my list went to the Super Bowl. I just feel like they should win the Super Bowl this next year. Or at least go back again. And that's the 49ers. Don't have much to say about them other than if they can teach Jimmy Garoppolo to throw more than 15 times a game and be good at it. Or if they get any of their other three running backs back from injury, then they should be better than they were this last year.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, why do you need Garoppolo to throw? You don't.
They, like, Breida is an amazing running back, and he was injured off and on. Tevin Coleman is a really good running back, injured off and on.
No.
Jeff McKinnon hasn't played for him yet, been injured, and he's really fast and good. And then they had that other dude who ran for 200 yards in, against the Packers. And I was like, where did this dude come from?
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Mostert. So whatever they're doing on offense, they can run the ball. And their defense is still kicking butt all the time.
That was one of the best Super Bowls I had seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. It was tremendous. Big fan. But yeah, Niners should have a big year again. Chiefs should have a big year again.
I agree with both of that.
My two kind of under-the-radar picks, which this is not going to be an under-the-radar pick for a lot of sports media because somebody picks them to win the Super Bowl every year, even though they're usually far off, Dallas Cowboys. I feel like the Dallas Cowboys are perfectly set up. Their roster is deep from top to bottom. They had a really good defense last year, had a decent offense. Don't know what happened. I have no idea. I have no idea why they lost so many games, because they should not have.
No, they shouldn't have. You know who my mind was on? And it's one of them teams that you don't think about. I guess it's kind of like they're not, maybe the very middle of the pack. I wonder what the season's going to look like for the Bears.
They were almost on my disaster team list. Just because their quarterback situation's terrible.
Well, that could possibly be fixed with this draft. But I'm thinking, like, there's going to be more quarterbacks that go in the first round than probably should.
They can't take a first-round quarterback this year. Because they traded so much up to get, or traded so much to get up to get Trubisky second overall. And that was 3 years ago. That was the Mahomes and Watson draft. They traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. And he sucks. So they can't do it yet. If they're going to get his replacement and want to draft him, they'll have to do it in like a later round where it doesn't look like they're trying to get his replacement. But that's such a backward situation that I don't even know if you want to do that. Who knows?
Well, there you go.
An awful one. So, my last team, by the way, I think Dallas probably wins that division this year. I don't think the Giants are good. I don't think the Skins will be good. And the Eagles, you never know. But Dallas is by far the most talented team in that division, I believe. And number four, the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Cousins, man.
Yeah.
They got rid of Stephon Diggs, which is not good. But then again, it is a loaded receiver class, so they could definitely replace his production if they pick the right one. They got like the 20th pick or something.
Okay.
So Ruggs will probably be there.
That's what I was going to ask you. Who should they take, do you think?
I think Ruggs is tremendous. And I'd probably rather have him with the 20th pick than Judy with, like, the 10th pick. replace his production. I think Dalvin Cook is electric. I think Cousins is okay enough to be what they need. And their defense is always solid. They have some really good linebackers all the time. And they have a really good defensive line. So as long as they can stay balanced enough, I think that they could push for, like, maybe one of the better teams in the NFC. I think Dallas and Minnesota are probably my top two in the NFC in terms of, like, talent and the way they're set up for next year.
Cool. All right, who is this fifth team?
Ravens and Chiefs. I just threw them in there because they're I think Chiefs I have fifth. I don't think the Chiefs should take a major step back at all. I know there's always that worry about, like, Super Bowl hangover or whatever. Like, I think they were injury bit throughout the year last year, and they won the Super Bowl. I think they could dominate next year. That's why I put them on the list, because, like, they kind of limped into the playoffs a little bit, and then once they
kind of slept on them, for real.
Yes. Like, everybody was kind of like, this is the Ravens' year, and they got to the playoffs and pooped the bed. And the Chiefs got there and, like, flipped the switch. I mean, if I was betting, man, I probably would have picked the Patriots last year going into the playoffs to win.
Me too.
Especially with how the Texans started out against the Chiefs. They were kind of putting it to them, and then the Texans did what they did, and that still hurts my feelings. But I think the Chiefs could go, like, 15-1 this year. I think it could be that kind of a year.
Wow. Cool, man. I don't have anything to add or subtract. I like those picks.
Let's do,
I guess, okay, before we move on, let me put two teams in this mix. Okay. What about the Packers?
I have the Packers. I have them in my running for Super Bowl contenders.
Okay, and Seahawks.
It's always so hard to say. Like, I have them probably between those two lists, between disaster teams and big year teams. Because
they're swinging.
Every year it starts out like that. Like, this could either be the year they have to trade everyone, or this could be the year they win the Super Bowl. It's like, okay. Can you pick one, please? But I don't know. They're such a weird team. I have no idea. Yeah. They could go 8-8 would probably be the most surprising thing to me. Because I think they're either going to go 4-12 or 12-4.
So it's a crasher. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's was the old Bon Jovi song. It's a blaze of glory.
Mm-hmm. And by no means, like, are any of the people on that team, like, old enough to even be, like, in that type of situation where it's like, we should tear it all down. But it's just, I don't know. It seems so chaotic all the time.
Yeah.
Over there. So my five teams are the 49ers, Dallas Cowboys, Ravens, the Vikings, and the Chiefs.
Okay. There you go.
Up next, I have five players who you're looking at in the draft that you're interested to see where they go. Is that what I had said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the one.
Interested to see where they go.
Yeah.
I'll let you go ahead first.
Yeah, okay, so I guess it's on everybody's mind. Where is Tua and Joe Burrow going to wind up? Because a lot of folks are predicting Miami for Tua or Chargers.
Yeah.
And then Burrow is like maybe a Bengal.
I think Burrow is locked into being a Bengal, and I don't think he should be. Not because I don't think he's talented or probably the best quarterback prospect in this year's draft.
I don't think he is.
I think it's an argument either way, and he had a good enough season that you can't not take him if you're taking a quarterback first.
Yeah, I mean, you don't throw 80% pass completion rate in the SEC for being a slouch.
So I think the Bengals will take him. I don't think they should. I think they probably should, just like we were talking about earlier. I don't think they should take a quarterback first and then try to build your line. I think you should trade down from that position. Give it to somebody who maybe has their team already kind of set, maybe like Patriots, you know, and say, okay, I'll take 3 second-rounders from you and 4 third-rounders for the next however many years, and you get Joe Burrow. How does that sound to you? And, like, if I'm a Patriots, I would probably do something like that, you know? Because their starter for this next year is either Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham. I don't think they want to do that.
I think the thing about Stidham, and this is another curious one for me, is Fromm reminds me a lot of Stidham. I think Fromm was, to me, over the past few years of watching him, I thought he was the most pro-style quarterback, especially in the SEC, that they've had in some time. I thought it was underutilized. I'm not going to go off on Kirby Smart and and all that with offensive coordinating. I don't understand the playbook this season for them, but I think that Jake Fromm is perfect for the NFL. But I thought Stidham was too.
Yeah. Well, I think the SEC does that to quarterbacks sometimes where they'll look incredible, like a Aaron Murray or who was old son from Arkansas a while back, that Brandon Allen maybe.
That sounds right.
And then they get to the NFL and it's like they can't do anything. But Aaron Murray, Fromm would have games like the SEC Championship 2 years ago against Alabama, where in the first half he could not miss. Like every pass he was throwing, like a 30-yard strike in a window like that big to his tight end, like over the top of an all-world safety. And then in the second half, they're like, yeah, we're going to run screens, but make them go backwards. It's like, you know, if he wins that game, maybe everything's different. But this year, he kind of didn't do great. So he does – I'm glad you brought up Stidham because he does have a lot of parallels to him in that regard to where, you know, he was a highly rated recruit even coming to Auburn from Baylor, where people were talking him up, specifically Auburn fans. But saying, you know, he's going to be this and that, and he just kind of doesn't do anything, probably because of the offense. I think Fromm is interesting and probably in one of those situations like the Bears, you know, where if they take him, like, in the 4th or 5th round, he could probably push Trubisky for his job. Just because Trubisky's that bad and Fromm is probably that undervalued at this point.
Mm-hmm. Of opposite side of the ball, I know his first name was Chase. I think it was Chase Williams out at Ohio State.
Chase Young.
Yeah, that's right. I'm curious to see where he goes.
He's supposed to go second. It feels like almost a lock because everyone thinks that the Bengals are going to take Burrow, which they probably will, and then the best player is probably Chase Young, kind of similar to the Myles Garrett thing. Did Garrett go first?
I don't remember.
He'll probably go to Washington. And the interesting thing about Chase Young I saw is that his win percentage on pass rushes was the highest in the NCAA last year. So usually you'll see, like, these athletic freaks, or not usually, but sometimes you'll see these athletic freaks, like a Clowney or Myles Garrett, and they'll look the part for sure, look like Greek gods, you know, carved out of marble and run a 4.6 and have all this strength and agility and stuff. But then their win percentage on pass rush won't be as high. Well, Chase Young is number one. Like, and it was, like, 20% of every time the opposing quarterback dropped back, he was beating his assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So a fifth of the time, he was beating his assignment.
Mm-hmm.
That's
crazy. He was so electric. He was definitely my favorite defensive player to watch this past college football season. I think there's a lot of great linemen, but I mean, you never really hear like, "Well, I'm just curious to see where Leatherwood's gonna go."
Yeah, I have. So I have Tua on my list to see where he might go, and that is probably more influenced by the fact that there's all these rumors about other teams trading up with either the Chargers or with the Dolphins to try and get him. Like the Patriots are rumored to try and trade up with the Dolphins. I don't know why the Dolphins would do that, but. Only because the Dolphins are in the same division as the Patriots, and if you trade maybe a Hall of Fame quarterback to a division rival, that's probably a bad thing. You know, if everything shakes out the way it could and Tua ends up being like the next Steve Young or whatever, imagine trading that to, like, if Alabama traded that to LSU and you had to face him for the next 20 years. Terrible.
That'd be horrible.
My number two is Jerry Jeudy versus CeeDee Lamb, because everything I've seen now is saying that, like, CeeDee Lamb is probably going to go ahead of Jeudy, and I think that's a gigantic mistake. Not that I don't think Jeudy will be, or Lamb will be good. I just think Judy's going to be awesome.
I do too. I think he'll be just as electric as, you know, previous SEC wide receivers of that caliber who have been going specifically from Alabama and Georgia over the past 5 years.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it does depend on what kind of offense you run, but in that same breath, like, Jerry Jeudy fits into any offense you want to run. So
the thing that's so impressive about this core, which some are going pro now, from that Alabama wide receiving core, is their ability to block downfield.
Yeah.
It's like they were so stinking impressive. Like, when the ball wasn't intended for them, they were doing their job. Whatever that was.
Where I hope he doesn't go is the Bills, because that guy cannot hit an open receiver. And that's usually like where these young receivers go, is to places where they think that the quarterback, what's wrong is that they need another weapon, but that's not the issue. The issue is that the quarterback stinks. So, I don't know. If I was Miami, I would take Jeudy. You know, I'd trade down from fifth and get Jeudy with 10. But, because receivers you can kind of take early. Just have that receiver whenever your quarterback gets there. I wouldn't take Tua and not have anybody to throw to.
Yeah.
You have another one, or do you want me to go next?
I mean, I don't think it's... I'm more curious to see how he'll be drafted than, like, where he goes. Like, I wonder if Jalen will enter in the draft as an athlete instead of a quarterback.
He's been saying quarterback. It's kind of the... to a lesser extent of what the Lamar Jackson thing was, or Tebow, I guess. They were like, "You should come in as a receiver, Lamar Jackson." He's like, "Actually, I'll win MVP my second year. How about that?"
See, I like Jalen as being a entering as a receiver. Yeah. I mean, if he wants to go as a quarterback, that's fine with me too, but I think whatever he does, he has the possibility, just like Lamar Jackson, to be electric.
I look at Jalen almost exactly like Dak Prescott, because I did not think Dak was all that in terms of being a passer in college, because he wasn't at Mississippi State, being honest. Like, he was not that electric of a passer.
He had incredible vision, and he could beat you with your feet, though, or with his feet.
Yes. Yes. And that's all he's done in the pros, too. Like, he doesn't put the ball on a dime, but he gets the job done. And now he can't feed his family for less than $30 million a year. So,
what a sham.
I think Jalen Hurts could do that. And if I'm the Cowboys, I'd take him in the third round. You want to beg for more money, Dak? Well, how about you beat Jalen Hurts in training camp first?
Okay. Cool.
My number three is Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson.
Okay.
He is a outside linebacker slash edge rusher. Mm-hmm. He has posted like the most impressive combine numbers of any defensive athlete since like, I don't know, Deion Sanders slash Lawrence Taylor slash whoever you want to name. Like, he ran 4.6. He did however many bench press reps. His shuttle times were like receiver speed shuttle times. It was like, this dude is insane. So I want Isaiah Simmons on Texans very much, but we don't have a first round pick, so we won't get him. He's who I'm most excited to see play this next year.
Okay.
And I hope that the Jaguars or someone else in our division doesn't get him. Number four, I have an Auburn graduate, Marlon Davidson, defensive lineman.
So, highly agree.
Number one defensive lineman is somebody Brown, I think.
That's right. That's right. It's Brown.
And he's getting a lot of love, like second round, first round type of placement for the draft, and I like him a lot. Brown is very good, but I saw Marlon Davidson play in high school, and I saw him chase down a running back from across the field on the far side, and he caught up and was faster than everybody else on the field, and he's 300 pounds. So I like Marlon Davidson. I want to see where he goes.
I like both of those guys. To me, this past season with Auburn, that was one of the most, especially that end of the defensive line, like that was just a monstrosity. I would have hated to deal with that. I don't know how they didn't beat LSU. It was offense. They didn't have any offense. I mean, that's how, but
yeah, it wasn't because of the defense.
Yeah, I was like, the defense was just outstanding.
Yes. Talk about a waste, man. That defense was scary. And it was weird because Auburn fans wanted to talk about how good their quarterback was.
It's like, he's not good.
That is not why you're winning games. And he's not good. I said that one time, and they said, well, he beat Kellen Mond in the game. I'm like, no, he did not. If Auburn had Kellen Mond last year and a different offensive coordinator, they probably win the championship. But that's beside the point.
Hot take.
My number five, a running back who is projected to go in the fourth round, I think, J.K. Dobbins. I think this is who the Bucks should look at closely at picking up. And I think this is who the Texans should have drafted instead of giving David Johnson the money. But J.K. Dobbins played with Ohio State last couple of years. He was electric. He has good burst. He has good vision. He can break tackles. He can catch. He's pretty much a complete back, but because he's a running back, he's not going to go in first round. Not going to go in the second round either because he's not one of the better running backs, I guess. But I think he's good. I would take him.
I liked a lot of the players offensively and defensively for Ohio State last season. I thought they had a lot of weapons. I don't know if it was just the coaching, the new coach, or what it was with them last year. I thought they would be a lot more successful than what they were with what they had.
They went to the playoff.
I had them going to the final, though, you know.
Well, to be fair, they barely got beat by Clemson, right? Wasn't that a pretty close game?
Yeah, I think so.
But, no, they were dope last year.
Yeah, I was like, Ohio State, yeah, that's just it. They were dope. Yeah, as much as it sucks to say.
Yeah,
they were.
No, they were fun to watch, too.
Yeah. Because it was like all season, watching them, you turn on their game, you know, a game starts at 0-0, and then at 9.5, you know, we're at 21-0 Ohio State. And I was like, did I blink? What happened?
Like, J.K. Dobbins has two touchdowns, Fields has one. Chase Young has a strip sack. He's running it into the end zone right now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. The kid was so electric, man. That whole Ohio State team, it was just unreal.
Oh, they have the number one rated defensive back coming out too. Jeff Okuda.
Mm-hmm.
Udoka. I always get the D and the K confused.
I'm just gonna agree with you.
Okay.
I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, he's a lockdown corner. Seems like they always have a lockdown corner and either a linebacker or a defensive lineman come out every year.
Do you think they will now that Urban Meyer's gone? I wonder how the new coach's recruiting's going to be.
I wonder how mad Urban Meyer is that the Cowboys didn't take him. Because he was, campaigning for that job. He said, because he was on Colin Cowherd, and they were, they asked him, do you think Lincoln Riley's going to take the job? And he's like, I don't really know Lincoln like that, but if I was him, I'd take it. Is like, you mean you would come back from retirement to take it? He said, absolutely yes. If they called me right now, I would take it. Like, that's as much as begging for the job as you can do if you're Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
And they're like, we'll take Green Bay's old coach.
Yeah.
Which probably a smarter decision. Next, I have 2020 MVP race. Spoiler alert, it is all quarterbacks.
Yeah, go figure.
Number one, Chase Young. I think he's going to play both sides of the ball. No, I'm kidding. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, for part of the reason I listed earlier. I think they're going to go 15-1 this next year. And I think he's going to throw for $5,000, and he's going to throw 50 touchdowns again, and he's going to be unstoppable again.
I like that pick. I like watching him. He was he was one of the best parts about the NFL last season. I just, just don't really care anything about that team. But I would watch because of him,
The Chiefs right now are probably the least hateable NFL franchise.
Yeah.
Which is weird because they've won a Super Bowl, and that typically is when people start hating you.
Right.
But nobody hates the Chiefs.
Mm-mm.
They're just fun. Except Tyreek Hill. Anyway. My number two, which is contradictory to what I said earlier, is Deshaun Watson. And it's because if the Texans don't turn into a garbage fire, if the Texans are successful and win 10 or 11 games, it'll be entirely because of him. He will have to have won every single game for them.
Which would make him an MVP?
My opinion. Who you got?
I like Mahomes, man. Other cat?
I have one more, but it's a long shot.
I don't want to just agree with you. I wouldn't have Deshaun Watson on there, but it would be Mahomes probably. I'm trying to think of another quarterback that you could probably put in there.
I don't think Lamar Jackson repeats.
I don't either. I wasn't going to pick him. It's just kind of Mahomes in my mind.
Yeah.
Really? I don't.
I've got Aaron Rodgers as my third.
Okay.
So he's kind of had a couple off years in a row. Where he hasn't been Aaron Rodgers,
It's health related as well, though, right?
Yeah, it's health and coaching and all kinds of stuff. The team hadn't been that good. And if they can kind of get on track and get it going to work how I think they could, they have a couple big games against the Vikings or whoever, because they're going to be on TV a lot, too, which helps. I think they could do it. It does depend on the draft. He has one receiver that he can throw to, and that's it. So that's never good. But I think Rodgers could have a big year, and if that happens, they like to give it to older guys sometimes too, where this might be your last one, so here's a MVP.
Yeah.
And I don't think Brady's going to get that love this year.
I don't either. He didn't even come close to the list. He didn't even...
I
don't see I don't see Tampa even winning that division.
I don't think so. I think it'll be New Orleans.
Right. I think it's just going to be a hype beast, and I think, I don't know, maybe second. Maybe. But I don't think so.
I think probably comfortably second, because I think Atlanta, again, is going to be garbage, and Carolina, it would take a lot for them to be good. I think Carolina's quarterback is Bridgewater. Do I have that wrong? I think they did get Bridgewater.
I hate that for him if that's true.
I like Bridgewater, but he's like a very comfortable starting quarterback. He's not an MVP caliber. I don't have him on my list anyway. He's going to throw for 60 touchdowns next year just to prove me wrong.
Get him on your fantasy team.
2020-21 Super Bowl champion. Who do you got?
To be honest with you, man, I wouldn't be surprised to see a rematch.
So I have the AFC Championship being Ravens versus Chiefs, and I have the NFC Championship being Packers versus 49ers.
Yep. I like those picks.
So it could be, I want to see Chiefs Packers actually.
Mahomes versus Rodgers, your MVPs.
Super Bowl one rematch.
Yeah. Okay.
Super Bowl one rematch.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Anyway, that's all I got.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. I would ask that you would rate and review the show on whatever app it is that you listen to on. We're on YouTube. Also on the social medias, you can find us there. Porch Talk on Facebook, Porch Talk _101 on Instagram and the Twitters. Now to walk this thing out the door, I have got possibly my favorite song by possibly my favorite band covered by Pete. JPKS, you may remember. He's been on the show. Also former member of the Waterliers. Here is No One's Gonna Love You by Band of Horses, covered by Pete.
1, 2, 3, 4. Reeling through an endless
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.